Tonight, in the time that we have remaining, I want to take the time to discuss the topic of prayer. It is a topic that we consider often, and rightfully so, as we understand that prayer is a vital part of the Christian life and the Christian experience. Prayer is often, too often, I believe, forgotten and neglected. It is our opportunity to be able to communicate with the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one person who is able to help in all of our time of need. And yet too often we forget this wonderful blessing, this wonderful privilege that we can come to the Lord and pray. And tonight I want to focus our thoughts again on this thought or the theme of prayer. I'll be honest with you, this week the thought of prayer has come back to the forefront of my mind. I have been thinking about and been reminded of the blessing of prayer and the power of prayer that we are afforded. And so tonight I want to remind us again of just what prayer really is. And so tonight the title of the message is Prayer, What Is It? And so tonight we're going to consider the thought of what it means to pray. Before we do so, let's bow together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we can come together, that we can look at truth concerning the topic and the theme of prayer. What a wonderful blessing, Father, you have given to us that we can pray, that we can come before the very throne of grace, there to find mercy and help in time of need, that we can cast our care upon you because you care for us. When we are weary and heavy laden, you will give us rest. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful blessing. Yet, Father, too often it is neglected. Too often it is forgotten. Too often we set it aside that we might figure out the problems of life in our own wisdom, instead of coming and finding the power that comes through seasons of prayer. Father, we ask and pray tonight that you would teach us and help us as we consider again the thought of prayer and what it is. So Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever we consider the topic of prayer, we often focus our thoughts on how to pray. And I think it's good that we understand just how we ought to pray. In fact, the disciples, while with the Lord Jesus Christ, having watched him pray, came and said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We need to learn how to pray. But tonight, I don't want to focus on how to pray. I want to be reminded this evening of just what prayer is. I want to consider the thought of prayer and what it means to pray. I want to be reminded of what we do when we come before the Lord in prayer. When you and I have this opportunity to come and bow before the very God of all eternity, the creator of heaven and earth, the great I am, I wonder if we often consider what it is we are doing in that time of prayer. Sometimes I think folks get very mechanical in their prayers. We get our little pet phrases and we know what to say and we kind of roll through it with very little thought of what we are actually doing. We have the right statements, we have the right words, we throw in the scriptures with it, and we believe that we are doing right because we have learned how to pray. But do you understand what it is you're doing when you pray? That's what I want to focus on tonight. What are we doing when we come before the Lord in prayer? As we do this tonight, I'm going to give you the acrostic by using the word pray. I'm going to give you four things that we do when we pray. I want you to begin with me, if you would, in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I want you to look with me at verses 5 down through verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Familiar verses. James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8 reminds us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James says, when we have need, let us pray. But as we pray, let us pray in faith. When you and I come to God and we pray, prayer really, folks, is the proclamation of our faith. When we come to the Lord and we bow with the request upon our heart, we are coming before the great I Am, the very God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the giver of life. And we are proclaiming faith in Him, for we believe that He alone is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that He is the one who is able to meet our every need. Prayer is the proclamation of our faith. You know, the Scripture makes it very clear that faith is important to the life of the believer. We are told to walk by faith, and we are to pray in faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, we're told, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we are told that faith is so important that without it, it is impossible to please the Lord. God has called us as believers to walk and to live by faith. As you go through all of life's journey, as you live day by day in all of the events and everything that you face, we are called to walk and live by faith. And folks, we are to pray in faith, believing. So when you and I come to God and we come in prayer, we are coming and we are proclaiming our faith in Him. Unless you're simply going through the motions. But true prayer, a prayer that will have power, a prayer that will find blessing, is prayer that proclaims its faith in God. Because, folks, when I come to God in prayer, I am recognizing, I am saying, I am not capable in and of myself. But I believe that He is able. Because, folks, I am not capable. I cannot do it. I do not have the wisdom to know what to say. I don't have the skills to properly care for every need that comes my family's way. I don't know it all, nor do you. It's not enough just to have good ingenuity. It's not enough just to be smart. The reality is, I am to walk by faith. I am to live by faith. God has designed it that the just shall live by faith. The more that we walk with the Lord, and the more that we come to know that faith is essential for all that we do, we learn that it is important that we abide in Him. For without the abiding in Christ, we can accomplish nothing. The vine, or the branch, excuse me, needs the vine. And by prayer, I am coming and connecting to the vine, and I am proclaiming my need for the vine. I am coming seeking to abide in Him, that He might do for me. As we therefore walk by faith and recognize that we are dependent upon Him, we're going to learn to come to Him more in prayer. And prayer really becomes the proclamation of our faith. What a blessed assurance that we have that in time of our need, we can come to the very throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace and strength to help in time of need. How wonderful it is to know that He who came and gave His life for us, that He might save us, also cares to ensure that our daily needs are met. Did not He teach us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? The very God who stooped and condescended to men of lower estate that we might be saved cares now about the meager things of my life. He cares about what I eat and what I drink and if I'm clothed. By the way, we're told that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. God knows what we have need of even before we ask. God knows to care for His own. What a wonderful blessing that He wants us to come and to pray. The more that we learn that we are incapable of meeting our needs and by faith come to the Lord, I believe the more He delights in meeting our needs. As a father, He delights to give good gifts unto His children. When you and I pray, we are proclaiming our faith in Him afresh and anew. We are declaring our dependence upon God. For folks, we need Him. And there is no greater testimony of our faith before others than the testimony of a true prayer life. Prayer is my proclamation of faith. I am recognizing that it is Him and Him alone that is able to meet the needs. And God calls me to walk and live by faith. And when I come to pray, I am proclaiming my faith in God. But secondly, I want you to notice with me that prayer is not simply a proclamation of our faith, but it truly ought to be a renouncing of our effort. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 with me tonight. Proverbs chapter 3. We're familiar with these verses. We've looked at them in weeks gone by. But sometimes the most familiar verses are the ones that we give very little thought to. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 reminds us that prayer is the renouncing of our own human effort. We cannot claim to pray in faith when we ourselves are still seeking to accomplish that which we are praying for. Prayer is our dependence upon God. It is trusting in Him for all things in our life. We cannot say that I am walking and living by faith. I am praying in faith. When I come to God and say, "Lord, I need this need taken care of," and then I begin to do all of that I can by my human effort apart from God to meet that need. The Bible tells me this in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." True prayer places all things at the feet of the One who is able and leaves it there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what the phrase "to trust in the Lord" means? To roll your confidence on Him. In whatever situation you are in whatever you are facing, in whatever trial or hardship you are going through, in whatever need of wisdom that you have, trust means I take my confidence and I place it fully on God. Why? Because I believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I trust in Him with all my heart. For God is able to do all things. Remember, He's omnipotent. He has all power. Not you, not me. He is omniscient. He is the one who is all-knowing and all-wise. Your knowledge is limited. His is limitless. You can't see tomorrow. You don't know what's coming next. But God knows the past, the present, and the future. He sees them all as one. He is eternal. He is above time. He is not bound by time nor space. So I put my confidence fully in Him. Again, Proverbs 3:5 tells me I am to trust in the Lord with all my heart. But the last part is the one that's the most difficult. To lean not to our own understanding. Here's how I like to define that. Put your life in God's hands and take your hands off. Take your hands off. We give it to the Lord. Whatever the need, whatever the problem, whatever we're facing, we give it fully to the Lord and we take our hands off. You say, but I have to understand. I need to know. No, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to trust. We don't need to lean to our understanding. God in His wisdom knows what we need to know and not need to know. By the way, folks, there are some things I am glad I do not know. There are some things I don't want to know. And if I knew them, it might change what I would do. I'm glad I don't know the future. I'm glad I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I know this, the fishing under the day is the evil thereof. I'll face my problems and my issues tomorrow. That's okay. But today I get to walk with God. Tomorrow, I may not even be here. I might be home with Him. No one's guaranteed another moment in time. But what a wonderful blessing to know that my hand and my life is in the hands of God. And I just simply trust Him. And God says, walk by faith. And folks, when we pray, truly pray, we come and we renounce our own human effort. It's the expression of my trust, my confidence in God to do all things. You cannot say you have confidence in someone when you're not willing to allow them to do things on their own. I want you to think about that one for a moment. Think about parenting. A parent who trusts their child can leave that child to do things on their own. But when you don't, you watch over them. If I trust my children to do their homework, I say, go do your homework. And all I have to ask is, did you do your homework? Yes, Dad. I don't have to go through their bag. And I don't have to look at it all and see if they actually did it or not. Because I trust them. If they have proven to be untrustworthy, bring it to me. Even though they said, yes, Dad, I did my homework. Bring it to me and let me see it. Folks, we don't trust God when we say, Lord, here's my problem. I believe that You are able. And as soon as we say amen, we begin to take that back to ourselves and do things our own way. It's time that we take our hands off and renounce our effort. Because what? We proclaimed our faith in Him. He is able to do all things. And folks, I believe that God has proven to us over and over again that He is faithful. And He is worthy of our trust. Psalm 37:5 says, commit our way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. That word commit there again means to roll onto the Lord. All of our burdens, all of our needs can be given fully to the Lord. And we can trust Him. And He'll accomplish His will and bring it to pass. It's time that our prayer proclaims our faith and renounces our effort. Go to the passage we've referred to a couple times now, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to look with me again at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul writes and says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." When you pray, and when I pray, as we ought, we are proclaiming our faith in God. We renounce our own human efforts, and we acknowledge His ability. God is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for Him. His ways are perfect. Now, His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. They are far higher and better than ours. That's why we, by faith, follow Him and trust Him with all of our heart. But we are to acknowledge His ability. Remember Proverbs 3:6? We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, that He might direct our paths. We come to God, we acknowledge that He is able to meet our every needs. How often do you and I fall short in prayer because we don't truly believe that God is able to meet our needs? We doubt Him. We doubt His ability. We doubt even His willingness at times to help. Yet, folks, when you and I come to Him in prayer, what we're supposed to be doing is acknowledging that He is able. That's a lesson Abraham learned. Genesis 18 and verse 14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Humanly speaking, Isaac was impossible. Not going to happen. A medical miracle and a marvel. But is anything too hard for the Lord? I reminded Ray and Ethel this week. We look at the need and we say, it's awful dire. But God could heal a leper. And if He can heal a leper, He can heal acute leukemia. If that's His will. Right? Now folks, it's easy to say that when it's not you. But it's hard to say it when it is you. But living faith, an active faith, and a peace that passes understanding acknowledges God's ability. And folks, I'm always blessed as a pastor to sit with people in the midst of life's hardest trials and hear them express their true faith in God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But I want you to remember, He will always do His perfect will. And sometimes, folks, His will and our will don't always match up. But He is able to do all things. Jeremiah needed the following instruction. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17 and verse 27, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me?" Folks, the answer is no. Our God is able. We teach our children the little song, "He's able. He's able." They go through all the motions a God is able. Do we really live under the truth and the knowledge that our God is able? When we pray, we are pronouncing, we are proclaiming faith. We are renouncing our efforts because we acknowledge there is one who is able. I want you to see the final thought with me. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 15. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. As I consider what prayer is, I believe that prayer finally is a yearning for God's involvement. It is a yearning for God's involvement. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. The nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. In the days of Asa, the prophet came and pleaded with them to seek the Lord, reminding them of what God had done in Israel when they forsook the Lord. And I like how the story unfolds. For Asa and all of Benjamin and all of Judah sought the Lord their God with all of their heart, with all of their soul. They yearned for God to be a part. Their whole desire was for God's involvement. They longed for Him to be with them and to bless them. Think about that when we pray. What are we asking for? I realize sometimes what we're asking for is just we want all our little needs met. But folks, when we truly pray,
We are asking that the God of heaven be intimately involved in our lives.
And he is ready to meet and come to be with us. I marvel at that. That the God of heaven cares about my small, insignificant needs. That God desires to hear from me when I pray. And yet, folks, so often when we forget to pray, we are forgetting that God wants to be involved. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are weary and are heavy laden, that he might give us rest. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Call upon me while he is near. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. God says, open your mouth wide that I might fill it. He wants to be involved. He wants to pour out his blessing. He wants to meet our needs. Yet so often we forsake that time of prayer. And we try to do it in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own might. I'm a self-made man. I'll do it myself. How foolish. How utterly ridiculous it is for us to try to accomplish those things which we can't. When the God of heaven and earth wants to be involved and wants to meet our needs. Don't you yearn for his involvement in your life? Folks, when we pray and we proclaim our faith and we renounce the human effort, and we acknowledge that he is able, we are coming and inviting God into our own lives. We are inviting him into our home. We are inviting him into our marriages. We are inviting him into the rearing of our children. We are inviting him to help us with our finances. We are inviting him to help us, the great physician, to heal those who are sick. We are yearning for his involvement within our lives. And why shouldn't we? He alone is able. And he wants to be there. You know, God doesn't even want a large crowd. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he'll be in the midst. Think about the next time, folks, you gather around your family table and you flippantly pray for the food that's before you. He wants to be there. Are you willing to invite him in? I remember years ago as we stood before a congregation and as we took our vows one before another, as the pastor closed, he encouraged us to let him be the unseen guest at our table. To be the unseen guest and observer of every conversation that we've had in our home. That was a great reminder for us as we got started in our marriage. We need God to be involved within our lives and within our homes. I think it's important that we learn how to pray, but I don't think we ought to lose sight of what it means when we pray. We ought to proclaim our faith and renounce our efforts because we acknowledge that he is able, and we ought to yearn that God be involved within our lives. The Lord Jesus came that we might live and have life more abundantly. He died and shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And through the avenue of salvation, we have been given access to our Heavenly Father. We've been given the wonderful blessing of prayer. Are we going to waste such an opportunity, such a privilege? Folks, I trust that we'll remember that prayer is the proclamation of our faith, a renouncing of our human effort, an acknowledgement that He alone is able, and a yearning within our heart that God be involved in every aspect of our lives. Let's pray together, please.